So, but I won't, yeah, we can go over that some other time, yeah.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Okay. And that, this is the one called portfolio rebalancing, and there's a rebalancing position paper that actually Marquette had put together, all the analytics behind that. And this is coming from the last meeting because the expressed concern that by the time, you know, what was happening to you is that because you weren't rebalancing, you know, I'll call it on a more timely basis, that you're getting whipsawed on returns. Okay, so the mark, you know, you were over allocated to equities at the end of last September, okay, by maybe 3% or 2%, I forget, enough, and then the stock market went down, okay. And then at the end of December, because the stock market had gone down, you were under allocated to equities at the time when equities were going back up. Now, does it work like that all the time? No. If they're consecutive quarters trending, then you don't want to rebalance, as long as you know when you do want to rebalance. And that's the problem, is that you can say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have. And then all of a sudden, wham, you know. So what we did, so I want to take you through this, and then you can see whether this might make sense to you. And then we'll talk a little bit about right where the market is right now. So rebalancing, what is it? It's a movement of assets from one asset class to another to maintain a strategic asset allocation. It is not market timing. It's basically saying, I like it to, you're driving down the road, you set your car at 65, and all of a sudden you're going down a hill a little bit, so all of a sudden you've gotten up to 68. Well, the car will slow you back up to 65, and you're going up the hill, and it's got you down to 62, it'll speed you up to 65. So it maintains you, you know, where you want to be strategically, okay? You know, why should you do it? To maintain your risk-reward profile. That's what you've decided on, the 65-35 split, okay? What are methods to use for it? You can do it on a calendar basis, every quarter, every year, every month. Or you do it when you deviate from the policy targets, you know, and both this position paper, and I'll talk a little bit about, we believe the deviation from the targets is the better way to do it, because if you do it on a calendar basis, you might be forced to rebalance. First off, you might wait, and you're say a 2% band. If all of a sudden you do it on a calendar basis and you've gotten to 4 or 5, well, somewhere intra-quarter you would have wanted to rebalance, okay? Or secondly, you might rebalance and it's not cost-effective because, you know, maybe the market only moved 25 basis points during that quarter, okay? So the white paper that Marquette did shows why that, at least historically, doing it on a deviation from that benchmark, and I purposely use this 2% because that's what their numbers do. And actually, when Pierce Park, when we did this study before we merged into Marquette, we came up with that 2% number also. So it seemed to be the right number. So how and how often, and then who implements it? Okay. Now, one of the issues you do run into, as noted today, is you've got cash sitting there, but it won't be until September 10th, and then maybe several days after that. So you're almost a full quarter past the end of June, okay? So what do we do? I purposely picked the OPEB fund because this, putting the state into all the equation made it near impossible to make the calculations, although we'll talk about that. But we compared the actual OPEB return versus the portfolio asset class weighted average returns, both on a quarterly and using quarterly and monthly returns. And then we used the asset allocation effect. In essence, how much did that deviation from that target asset allocation add or subtract? Okay. Page 4 is all those numbers. You're looking at it quarter by quarter. But look on the far right-hand side. The quarterly drift, you know, if we rebalanced, would have added 2.2 basis points per quarter. Okay. May not seem like a lot, but then we'll talk about the cost, okay? Okay, and the average drift in the negative markets was actually more. So it was valuable to rebalance on, you know, on the quarterly, and we did this on a quarterly basis because I couldn't tell exactly what day you guys moved beyond 2%, so I had to do it on a quarterly basis for this. But it added 2 basis points per quarter, okay? But it was even more valuable in the negative markets, okay? So added 2.71 basis points, okay? Doing it on a monthly basis, it's about 1 basis point, and in the negative markets, it was actually even more so. Now, again, that might not seem like a lot, but if you add that for the year and then compare it to the cost, you'll at least historically, it added value. So is it worth it? So you want to compare the alpha, what you would gain by doing this, versus the cost. And we look at all time periods over the past 5 years, and then just during the drop markets, the down markets over it. So the alpha, what the advantage would be to rebalance on a systematic basis, okay? Over all periods, you know, and I said I use monthly data, was 0.95 basis points. The cost was 0.125 basis points. So the value, and that's what we would charge, okay? The value would be roughly 7 to 8 times what the cost is, okay? If I look at just the negative periods, and that's what people are most concerned, okay, it's really a 10 to 1 ratio, okay? Doing it on a quarterly basis, using quarterly numbers, you see the value there also. I'm not going to, if I do my math, it's about six to seven times on the all periods, and a little bit less than about eight times multiple, you know, using that. Okay. If we are correct, if the studies are correct, doing it, and that's just using quarterly and monthly data. If we do it on a deviations, then I would suggest that the value would be even greater. Okay. So what would Marquette do, okay, if you had us be the ones that, you know, and implement it? Well, we would provide you weekly, we would weekly do a rebalance sheet. Okay, I'll show you what that looks like in a minute. Okay. We'd review it relative to the rebalance policy. If you concur with the rebalance policy of 2%, we make no judgments. If it's 2.01, we're moving money. Okay. Okay. It only happens a couple times a year. It's not like it happens every week, every couple weeks. It's got to move a decent amount for that to happen. But we have seen a lot of that in the last 3 quarters. Okay. Okay. And we review it relative to that, and then we rebalance when outside of policy. We draw up the trade sheets. We lose, okay, sell so much of this, buy so much of this. We communicate it to Wilmington Trust, and then we communicate the changes to Chena. Okay. Page 7, and you saw that when I showed the rebalance sheets for the other one. That's exactly what we do, and you can see, like, in the rebalance column in the middle, just like we look to bring things as close to back to target as possible. That's where you see in the lower right-hand side where the differences are zero. Okay. And then what would be the issues for implementation? Was one is we'd have to develop a rebalance policy. Okay, I told you what I would recommend, but that would be the board's and the county's decision. And then with the pension, you know, how with the state, how would we deal with that? Do we assume their allocation mixes change the same in relative same proportions as yours did? So if yours went out, you know, this much, theirs went out this much, which I think is would be the best way to do that. Or do we consider that their asset allocation mix stays static? But it really doesn't, you know, so the relative changes would be about the same. So what we would end up doing is we wouldn't move money in and out of the state, but on that last 70% or 60 or 70%, whatever you end up with, then we would look at it, that piece, and move those. So, okay. Now, having said all that, I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning about a little bit nervous, you know. So I believe that the studies, and we've did studies that went back all the way back, you know, I did 5 years for you, but, you know, Marquette did studies, Pierce Park did studies, we, you know, this goes back 20 years, and we believe there's a very distinct value to having a discipline rebalance policy. I could see that the market goes down for a couple quarters and we're buying back into equities. You know, I'm a little nervous about that, even though that's the right discipline, and contrary to what I talk about, not market timing. So I just throw that out there as a piece to consider when you think about this.
I remember conversations at previous meetings where we were talking about individual investment manager performance, and there'd be comments along the lines of, well, you know, they're a little heavy into this beyond our benchmark, but, you know, because of market conditions, I'm not too worried about that, or maybe that's a good thing for right now, and it'll correct itself. And it seems to me if we get to a very rigorous rebalancing scheme, then all of these kinds of fine shadings that we look at, and you've commented on often in the past, seem to go away, do they not?
Well, not all, but the aspect as to whether you rebalance your policy, back your policy, would basically go away. You know, these evaluations of a manager as to, well, we would, like when I meant, if I understood you correctly, like with MFS, where I said, well, we expected to underperform in second quarter because it was a strong market. That issue, that would always be there, but that's really sort of the commentary that we provide of, you know, how do you evaluate this performance of a manager? You know, I think that's if I understood your question, that I see that as a separate issue. Mm-hmm.
On the cost to do this, is that the basis points for the total value of the fund, or how does that?
Yeah, so not intentionally being confusing, but it is confusing what I put in there. It would be 1.5 basis points for each fund. Okay, that would work out to be about $22,000-$25,000 a year when we did the calculations over, you know, you can see the value, you know, not every year, some years it doesn't work. And that's why we showed you quarter by quarter and month by month, quarter by quarter, when it added value and when it didn't. But the, if you go back to that analysis that we did on a quarterly basis, each one of those, that's the drift would be how much additional, if it's a positive number, that's how much additional return you would have gotten that quarter, okay? And when you average all those out, it works out to, you know, 2.2 per quarter. So basically, 1.5 basis points of cost, roughly about 10 to 12 basis points of at least additional return over the last 5 years.
So as history, we did do this with the OPEB fund, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Partially. Well, you did that and more.
Okay.
So back in 2015, I think you had us do, we were picking the funds, terminating the managers when we chose to, and we did this as part of that also. So weekly we looked at this and we balanced the portfolio. So what you had before was more extensive than this. This is okay. Just a sub-component of that.
Okay, understood.
It worked so well you decided to fire us on that.
So what had happened, we didn't have to change anything, so there was no movement, so figured we'd get rid of that cost, is what had happened.
That's fine.
So I was looking at the position paper, the rebalancing position paper, and that seemed to indicate to me some counterintuitive results, but like on page 7, when looking at calendar rebalancing, it looked like annual rebalancing gave the best outcome. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, but all of those didn't do as well as deviation rebalancing. So yeah, deviation rebalancing did better than whether they did calendar, quarterly, or monthly.
Okay, and if I were looking at...
Because you would have a ten, like the issue I mentioned about this, you might have a trend for a little while that doing it monthly almost was too often, you know.
And so I'm trying to relate what you're saying to your position paper. And so rebalancing outcomes for a modern institutional portfolio there on page 14.
Mm-hmm.
This is showing that the lower the range, the better the outcome. The range chosen for rebalancing trigger. Am I reading that correctly on exhibit 21?
Yes.
So yesterday the market declined by?
2.5.
2.5. So that would trigger a rebalance today?
Not necessarily, because that's 2.5 of the mark. So that's, and if your equities are, say, 65% of portfolio, 65% of 2.5% doesn't quite get to 2%. So that one, yeah. So, yeah. Huh?
It's pretty close, though.
It's pretty close. Oh, yeah. So it might have triggered it because we had a downturn in, you know, last week also.
Right.
So, but we look at it weekly. We don't look at it daily.
Okay.
Yeah. If we did it daily, we'd have to charge you a whole lot more money.
A lot more. I don't know if anybody has any more questions or any thoughts. I'm very leery right now to do it. I'm happy if we're under allocated to equities at this
Sorry,
point. So we have this, we know what it costs, and we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else.
Quarterly or something.
Yeah, we can bring it up. I can put it on the agenda again next quarter.
I think in a perfect world, this probably makes some sense to maintain our allocations on a more consistent and automatic basis.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would agree that this week may not be the best week to approach this.
I agree with you. I think it's a. I can tell you, having doing, you know, we have 70. Well, over 50% of our clients have some version of this. Most of them that full OCIO. So, and we can see that it absolutely has added advantages. But I don't think I would do it right now either. I think I would just keep the powder dry, and if you happen to be a little under on your equities right now, that's probably okay.
With the cash infusion, we're already doing some rebalancing going forward in
Correct.
Next month, so that
right.
maybe would tide us over for a while.
Yeah, agreed.
Right, yes. Yeah.
So maybe the election's over next year or something.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a little light on equities right now, even if it gives up. Normally, you don't want to give up some returns, but right now, I think the downside risk is just feels greater than the upside reward opportunity. So,
especially if the Fed's going to cut rates, I mean, that's we're going to get a little extra juice from some bond returns, maybe. So,
yeah.
Not too much juice left in that.
No, not much, but just a little.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure, you're welcome.
Okay, last item is any additional business. Anybody have any additional business?
Just a question.
Sure.
The State of Delaware Pool Administrator was talking, I was just wondering whether we had asked him for any additional detail about the makeup of his portfolio. It strikes me now, looking backward at the presentation and comparing it with the other presentations that we have, that his was verbal.
That is correct.
And not graphic.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering whether that was by request or whether He chose his method of presentation.
So he chose his method of presentation. We did give him a list of questions, and that is what he answered. We would hope that when he answered the questions, he would have given us something to stuff us right in the notes. As I've done before, I can give you their annual report that'll have some of this information, but a lot of the stuff he did say was beneficial to have in front of us, I feel. And I have no problem reaching out to him and saying, can you put what you gave to us in writing so that we have it for future reference?
Right. Well, it seems clear that perhaps they don't have a marketing arm to their list of offerings as a investment manager.
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
Very diplomatic.
The only other item.
I think I gave him some questions.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to thank the committee that we did get the AAA bond rating, and it is because we have lowered the rate of return. We have made those contributions, and it is with your support of the pension committee. So I wanted just to thank you publicly.
Congratulations.
As well.
Congrats.
Just thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So at this time, can I have a motion to adjourn? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
And a second?
A second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.
So next meeting, you'll have some more information about real estate.
Yeah.